This episode is from the archives, so some of the subjects mentioned may be out of date.
Well, first let's talk to Bart Baggett. Well, Bart is an experienced radio TV guest with over 1,300 radio and television appearances, including CNN, The Montel Williams Show, CNBC's Business Power Lunch, and many, many, many more, including Howard Stern as well. Well, Bart Baggett is hands down the most media-savvy personality in the handwriting analysis field. In fact, he's a veteran. Now, he's the author of a home study course, How You Can Analyze Handwriting in 10 Minutes or Less. Change Your Handwriting, Change Your Life, How to Raise Your Children's Grades, and lots more. He's also director of HandwritingUniversity.com and has created the world's most popular handwriting analysis website.
From the internet marketing perspective, I've seen some guys like Yannick Silver. I mean, I met Yannick before he had published his first book.
Yeah.
And Yannick Silver is one of the top marketing guys now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've become friends over the years, but I got to tell you, he's a great student.
Yes.
He didn't try to be creative. He said, here's what works. Let me do my research. I'll write a book on this topic. I'll write a great sales letter. I'll get traffic. I'll make friends with affiliates, and I'll go.
Yeah.
And it's a formula. And if you have the persistence and intelligence to follow the formula and don't give up, it's good. I mean, for most people, the reason they never get wealthy is they don't have the discipline to save money in the first place.
Yeah.
To save money, and then they don't have discipline to employ what it takes.
Yeah, and also a lot of people don't realize, because again, they only see the kind of the benefits of success. They don't see that there's a price to pay for everything as well, isn't there? You know.
Well, there's a time lag.
Yeah.
I mean, if our unconscious mind really works the way we want it to, is if you have a thought, it creates itself.
Yeah.
Which is essentially true, but it's not that instant. If you really focus on something, the energy does move things at an unconscious level.
Yeah.
But if it did it instantly, you would also end up with monsters in your bed every morning.
Yes.
If you had a bad dream. So it really takes a while to focus on that.
Yeah.
So people's belief systems do it. I mean, it's just the same thing. If you, you're probably, well, most people are married, but if you're single
and you think
there's a pretty girl I'd like to ask out, and immediately your brain goes, but she probably would say no, you then don't even ask around.
Yeah.
So if there's a TV show in your area that says they should put me on TV, and you have a belief that you're not ready, you're not good enough, you're not as successful as Bart, you don't have a radio background like Peter, you never ask in the first place.
Yes.
And so the big secret is asking. I mean, I'll tell you what, the biggest windfalls of profit have been through publicity, you know, big PR.
Yeah.
And through joint ventures.
Yes, exactly.
And joint ventures are all relationships, and both those depend on your ability to create relationships and create trust and have someone else endorse you.
Yes.
Those are the big wins. And if you're an introvert sitting in your room and if you refuse to get out and make connections, it's going to be difficult for you.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you've got an absolute pile of money behind you where you can go the other route, you know, with advertising and stuff like that. But even that
even
can sometimes
still,
can be difficult.
You have to build relationships with those people. But,
yeah.
But advertising is really, I mean, most people, especially small business people, will do advertising last.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at the point now that I do have an advertising budget, and the reason is I figure that advertising is cheaper per hour for me than spending time calling producers.
That's right.
And it's more consistent because, see, PR and public relations and free publicity is not dependable.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I need to get 20,000 visits a month to the website to maintain the income because I know the numbers.
That's right, yeah.
You know, and so it's important to have an advertising budget to continue that.
Yeah,
the free publicity just floods it if I'm willing to put the time in.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the questions that I get asked a lot, and you probably do, you know, people say, I am looking to try and be successful on the internet, blah, blah. Having been involved in the internet for a couple of years, what's your view of the current kind of climate generally of the internet? Do you think it's... you know, some people say it's never been easier because of all the tools that are available now. You know, what's your general view?
Oh, it's never been easier. I mean, when I first started in 95, I couldn't even program a website. I couldn't even buy a domain name. I didn't know how.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like anything, the prices have dropped. Your software is so easy now. You can build a website and put it up in 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know, you can even buy traffic. With the search engine, I mean, the things are never easier. The challenge is your business model better be good because there's more competition now. So like for example, if you're selling weight loss, you just can't, I mean, you could, if you had the money, go buy clicks at $4.80 a click on Overture.
That's right, because that's
but
what
that
going
would be
for,
stupid
yeah.
because your book costs $15 and it's going to cost you $90 per sale.
Yeah.
so you're competing with super, super big boys. But I tell you what, if you're buying traffic from handwriting analysis, you're paying 10 cents a click, not $4.80.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really can. I mean, I get a lot of clients that I work with, and my rates are high, so they're usually doctors or they're working on, you know, different projects.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's basically saying, okay, what are you going to be an expert in? Let's pick a niche market within that experts.
Yeah.
Let's build you a mailing list and get you some traffic so that you can begin to be a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be an expert in something,
yeah,
or you have to have some reason they're going to have some affinity or loyalty to you.
Yeah, right.
And without that mailing list, you really are not building a business model. You're having a website.
Yeah.
And owning a website and owning a database of names are a little bit different as far as just importance.
Yeah. And what you were talking about building an opt-in list, I personally find that having building your own opt-in list is far the best way to do it, rather than buying in names and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's a little slower. I mean, there's people like Tom Anton who's built a very huge mailing list.
Yeah.
But if you talk to him before he was buying names, or anybody before buying names, he would say, he would send a mailing out and he would get, you know, a 2% response or something.
Yeah.
And as you buy names, you're essentially putting unqualified people into it, so your response goes down.
That's
but again, it's not costing you a stamp every time you hit that list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my list now, I've got probably 60,000 names between my various mailing lists.
Right, yeah.
So if I decide to endorse your product, Peter, I've got 60,000 names that will see that headline.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Of those 60,000 names, only 30,000 really recognize my name because they're the only ones that are real loyal to me.
That's
the
right,
other
yeah.
30,000 came from a variety of other websites and other opt-in newsletters that may or may not be associated with me directly.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are less likely to open the email and even less likely to buy something because there's no inherent credibility there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So for some of those, it's just a random piece of spam. The other ones are like, wow, I own all four of his books, and anything he endorses, I'm going to buy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't know which one of those 60,000 might be in that category at that moment.
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, how do you see the... do you have a view of perhaps generally the economic climate or how you think things will go? Well, depending on whether or not we have a war, of course, but how things will go for the next couple of years. Are you quite positive about the climate generally?
Oh, I'm extremely positive. I mean, you have to understand that.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I was doing radio interviews three times a week to create traffic and phone calls to sell things.
Yeah.
Now, because I've automated my systems, I've hired an assistant to manage my email, everything is online, 98% of my income is from the shopping cart online.
Oh,
people are more comfortable now. I mean, literally, I've got an entire business that someone else runs. I spend 4 or 5 hours a week on it. This is some of the handwriting analysis and publishing business.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am now free to pursue another career in Hollywood.
Great. That's
I mean,
great.
What I'm saying is that not only is it positive, but it's done a lot of things correctly, it's afforded me the luxury of being a business owner, mm-hmm, not just working in my business.
Yeah, right.
And so anybody can do this. And I know Yannick's done the same thing. I mean, Yannick, although he manages his business with just his wife, the guy takes vacations, he buys new cars. Because every website is its own business,
mm-hmm,
it's automated because the systems are now cheap enough. You can get shopping carts and autoresponders and all these automated support systems so that you don't have to manage your business.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for someone not to have an internet business is merely, for me, someone that's just too lazy to do the work.
Yeah.
To build it and to learn what it takes to manage something like that. I can't imagine not having a real job. And I mean, really, it's just so neat to have $10,000 a month coming in or more,
yeah,
into your bank account, whether you do anything or not.
That's Bart Baggett there. And all the people that we talked to today, if you want to find out more about them, simply look at this webpage and below you'll see there are links to their websites. Well, they always say that you remember the good teachers and forget the bad ones. Just think of the subjects that you really excelled at school, and probably much of it was down to the teacher. Well, the same goes for business. If you can find the right people to look up to and learn from, firstly, you can see that they've already arrived at where you want to be, and secondly, if you listen to them, you can learn. Well, Yannick Silver is very successful at internet marketing, with products like Autoresponder Magic and his new Instant Internet Toolbox, but even he had to start somewhere.
I think I took a whole variety of sources and kind of... they just gelled together into my head for what I wanted. And, you know, for instance, for anyone that wants to be successful online, I tell them I don't know if I'm a studier of history, but I like to go back to the 20s and the 30s, especially for advertising people. Those are the people that I study because I think that people don't change, and I think ideas don't really change. The same ideas that worked back then that people forgot about work just as well right now on the Internet. It'll continue to work 50 years from now, 100 years from now.
So in a way, you were emulating the successful people, I suppose, weren't you?
Yeah, in a way I was.
Yeah, because one thing that when I've spoken to other marketers like yourself, the thing that just keeps coming up all the time is don't try and reinvent the wheel. You know, look at what other people have done and try and adapt that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you think about that, that's a great point, Peter. Because my most successful product is my first one that we came out with, and that's InstantSalesLetters.com. And, I mean, that's not really a new idea. There's been books and even CD-ROMs and things like that for model business letters and model sales letters sold in the bookstore forever. All I did is gave it a little bit of a twist and put it online and made it available for instant download for people.
And that wasn't that the idea that came to you at, was it 3 o'clock in the morning or something?
Yeah, something like that. It was, I think it was right after New Year's, and it was some kind of hungover stupor, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I rolled over to my wife, Missy, and I'm like, Miss, InstantSalesLetters.com, this is going to be really good. And she's like, oh, just get back to sleep, Johnny.
Well, although you're learning from your mentor, you don't want to become a lifelong student. You have to get the job done and take action. Well, Yannick really impressed Jonathan Mizell.
He got an idea for a project, I think, at a seminar that I was at, and a week and a half later, he released it. Was it perfect? No. Did it have all the elements in place that it needed for a successful project? Yes. And so he didn't even, you know, and he'd be the first to admit it. The product itself was good,
yeah.
But, you know, it could have been better. What was really, really good was the process by how he put it together. The sales letter, the offer, the guarantee, the bonuses, the delivery. And really, I've got clients who have been spending years and years on projects. In fact, I just told you about one guy who's been spending about, I don't know, 10 months or 8 months on this one project. And I said, I finally told him, this is a 2-week project, man. You know, just sit down and write for 10 hours and do it. And, you know, and get on with it.
Yeah.
Because by the time you release the thing, it's going to be so outdated and so old, it'll fail just because it's a product that's too dated, even if you do everything correctly.
Yeah.
The most important thing is to spend the time up front to understand what you need to do, and then once you know what that process is, just go for it and do it. Mm. And if it fails, do it again. Mm. Yannick and I were just talking, and he said, you know, that project had not succeeded. Well, it did succeed. But if it had not succeeded, well, he didn't care. He had another one all lined up.
Yeah.
In fact, 4 weeks later, he came up with another new product.
Well, that's what I found working on this project now, Jonathan, is when I've been working on this for what? Ooh, just over 2 weeks now. And it's so different now to what I envisioned 2 weeks ago. But that's what you've got to do, isn't it? You've got to let the thing evolve.
You let the thing evolve, and also what you're doing is you're interviewing people, and you're getting like a real, you're getting an up-to-the-date or up-to-the-minute type of information product that you're putting together. And see, that's so much more important because that's what's working today, right now. So many products that are out there, and I mean, gosh, if anybody is reading this and they're thinking of putting out whatever, another ebook on pop-ups or something, well, let me tell you, feel free to go ahead and do it. But I've already dominated that space, and that's already been done, and, you know, there's already people out there. I've already got a few competitors who are doing it, and the thing is this wasn't something that I've been working on for 20 years. Mm. I got the idea on a discussion board. Someone said there should be a pop-up course, and it took me, I don't know, about 2 weeks to put the whole thing together from beginning to end, from lining up the interviews, from writing the ad copy, from getting the page design, from writing the product itself, and bang, and you know, if it hadn't worked, I didn't care. I have another thing lined up.
Mm.
That's the idea, is that you want to keep moving and keep yourself in action.
Thanks, Jonathan. That's Jonathan Mizell from Hawaii, famous for his amazing pop-ups program. And we now cross to Santa Barbara, home of the man you can hear playing the piano in the background, Clay Cotton. He's a master of the residual six-figure income. And today, I want to ask him what motivates us.
Fear, greed, and pride, the three basic things that drive what my wife calls the monkey mind, you know, and some people in spiritual circles call the monkey mind, you know, the desperate mind that it's clinging after what it wants, the Buddhists call the desire, the mind of desire. You're moving toward desire. And the other part of the mind is moving away from what it wants to avoid. It's fearful, it's scared, it's moving away. So you're either... Neurolinguistic programmers would call these metaprograms.
That's right.
Toward pattern or an away from pattern. You're moving toward what you want and away from what you don't want. So it's either pain and pleasure or fear and greed or want what you want or what you don't want. Those kind of things. It breaks it down very simply. And if you're thinking about the things in terms of those minds, that can work very well in marketing. You can make people scared of something, and you can echo what they're scared of or what they're trying to avoid, and you can echo what they're striving towards and what they want. But that's the monkey mind that wants those things. It's not the real self. The real self is spiritual contentment, satisfaction, union with God or with the oneness, a state of contemplation and of satisfaction and oneness. You know, it wants unification.
Thanks a lot, Clay, and don't forget to check out his Marketers Hall of Fame, where he's the curator. One thing that most internet marketers agree on is the need to test your sales letters and your products. Well, Armand Moran is the man who brought us eCover Generator, and you can check out his links below. Armand's on the line now, and I believe, Armand, you once had an interesting concept.
I had this concept of one time about subliminal advertising on the internet. Now, this is a concept because I can't tell you 100... I've never done the actual test, but if you go to my Take Online Payments, what you'll see is in the lower left-hand corner in the status bar, it says, it's going to be flashing, it says, purchase Take Online Payments now. When I first released that product, and I was a nobody in the internet marketing, what I did is I posted on a message board, just please review my site, let me know what you think, you know, is wrong with it. I get a bunch of people emailing me back and saying, oh, you know, you should take that flashing thing off, because that is just annoying. And I said, maybe they have a point. Let me take a look at it. So what I did is I took it off. Then all of a sudden, my sales dropped.
All right.
It dropped down to nothing. And I was like, well, I'm thinking to myself, was it because I had that little flashing thing on there?
Yeah.
I said, well, let me put it back and see what happens. I put it back, sales picked up again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never tested it with any of my other sites, but I'm going to do a test sometime.
You could sit about 20 people in front of the screen and see what happens, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to do a test sometime. I'm going to take one of my sites that I know my metrics 100% on, and I'm going to see if does it raise or does it lower my metrics. Mm.
Or as I say, you could put those 20 people in front and change the text, just put take your clothes off and see, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting. Thanks, Armand, and he'll be joining us again on future programs. You know, in any business, whether it's online or offline, the most difficult thing really is to get started, just to get off the starting blocks and get running. But, you know, it's a bit like pushing a car or pushing a truck. It takes a lot of effort to start and to get the thing going. But once it's going, first of all, you've got to run with it because you can't stop it. And secondly, it builds up momentum. So as you go along, it gets a bit easier to deal with, really. Now, why do we not get things started? Well, you can probably think of 100 excuses as to why you won't. And I just want to tell you a quick story about somebody who came round to our house the other day. He's in fact a window cleaner. He's our window cleaner. He comes round every month and he cleans the windows. But he's not a particularly happy guy because he's quite frustrated in that he doesn't want to carry on cleaning windows for the rest of his life. In the UK, the problem is also the weather. Whenever it rains, he can't go out and therefore he can't earn any money. So I got chatting to him. I love helping people. I really love helping people. But what I've learned over the years is that you can't just pick somebody up and put them in a position and magically make success appear for them. An amount of effort has to come from that person. So I've learned over the years to ask a couple of searching questions to see whether they really have what it takes to do what they want to do. Now, the thing is that everybody has what it takes. A lot of people say it's my education, it's the timing, it's this, it's that, but really, it's not. You can compare yourself to successful people. I mean, for example, if you look down the road and you see somebody driving a Rolls Royce and they've got a big house, you can sort of say, well, it's all right for them, they're successful. But do you know the one thing that you have in common with that person? The one thing that both of you have? It's time. Time. There are 24 hours in a day. So one argument could be that perhaps they're making better use of their time than you do. That could be one of the reasons why they're successful. How is it that they manage to achieve so much in a 12-hour day? Well, of course, it comes down to the use of your time. Anyway, back to the window cleaner. We got chatting, and he said he was actually interested in doing some things on the internet. And I was saying, why don't you do this, and why don't you do that, and we could try this idea, and we could try that idea. And at the end of it, he said, well, yes, I'll have a go, but, you know, he said, don't push me, because time is a problem. And I said, time is a problem. I said, do you do window cleaning with floodlights? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, what do you do in the evening? Do you clean windows? Well, no, of course not. I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, like everybody else, sit and watch TV or... I said, well, what do you do on the internet? You're interested in the internet. What do you do? Well, he said, I play chess. So I said to him, well, if I can give you some tools and some advice, instead of playing chess, you could be following the advice, surely. You can have every excuse in the world, but really you have the same amount of time as a successful person. If you want to start something, don't see it as a massive thing that you've got to get started. Try and break down what you want to do into sections. Just do an hour's work every day. I discovered this because my little girl, bless her, who never sleeps really well, I could say that she actually helped me become successful on the internet, because every morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning she would wake me up and then I couldn't get back to sleep. So what I ended up doing was I used to spend 1 or 2 hours on the internet, and that's how I put the time in. Of course I was tired and I felt like falling over most of the time, but that's what forced me to do something. I thought, well, at least I'm going to use this time properly. Just try and do a little bit every day and you'll be amazed how it builds up. On a more serious note now, more and more people are becoming aware of the need for enhanced computer and internet security. But just like in the offline world, many people say, it can't happen to me. Well, on the line now is security expert David DaVinci, and today we're going to discuss passwords. David.
A lot of different people have either very poor passwords that can be easily broken into on the internet, and some people even write things down, like in a little notepad, or some people even write it on those yellow stickets and put it on their screen, and then anybody who walks by instantly sees what the password is. Ideally, you should be using at least a 10-character password on the different sites that you go to, or at least 8 characters, and you should use a different password for every site, because if a hacker, if somebody gets your password on one site, they can use it perhaps on all the others. You know, you can store passwords that you use on a Microsoft Word document or anything like that. And we also teach people about how insecure some of the passwords are that they're using in different applications right now. For example, Microsoft Word, some people password protect their important documents to keep them safe, right? And they think that's like putting it in like a real-world safe. Well, it turns out that there are programs available, some of them free. Some of them bill themselves as like a program that would help you recover your password in case you ever forgot it. But the fact of the matter is that these programs allow anyone to recover the password that you've put into your Microsoft Word document and to give that person the entire password so they can get in there in less than half a second on a regular PC. How secure really is that? What sort of security protection do you want on your documents?
Thanks, David. David DaVinci, online security expert now for 16 years and author of Cybersecurity. Details below. Well, now let's move on to website design. Pamela Haywood is on the line from Tenerife in the Canary Islands, and she runs the Two Cats eZine, but she's also an expert at design. Pamela, how do you know when your website is right?
I don't think a website is done until you've finished taking away all the bits you don't need. Most of it is overuse of some technology.
I won't say what it was. It was connected to a TV program, and I think it took in all about 4 minutes to download. And the annoying thing is you're watching this thing saying 50%, 60%, and then when it actually downloaded, it was just a load of rubbish.
Yeah, it's all for effect.
Yeah.
It doesn't serve a purpose. I'm sure there are places for this, but my requirements are to do business, sell products and services. Most important is giving information.
That's what I was going to say, because people, other people seem to be trying to do is still look at the internet as a as an entertainment medium, but it's just not ready for that yet, I don't think, is it? Really? In terms of multimedia and the speed of things, that's what I mean.
No, not everybody's got DSL yet.
Thanks a lot, Pamela, and you can subscribe to her excellent e-zine by clicking the link below. Now, Dan Schaefer is a computer and web expert, as well as an X-Radio sports commentator and writer. He says he likes to be at the bleeding edge of the internet. Now, Dan, you have interesting views about the use of discussion boards and chat rooms on a company's website.
Yeah, it's one of the most annoying things that's been happening for many, many years in different formats. A company will say, to me, as they hire me to help them build a website, oh, we don't want a discussion board for our customers because then they'll say bad things about us there. And my response is, they're saying bad things about you anyway. They're saying bad things to each other about you. Here's the difference. If it's on your discussion board and you have somebody monitoring it, you can nip those problems in the bud. You can deal with those issues in a public way that's frank, honest, non-confrontational, and problem-resolving. And when you do that, and you do that more and more times, you will find that you will develop among your customers champions who, when somebody else comes in the discussion board and says, oh, this product sucks and doesn't do this, and it costs too much, and these other guys got a better thing, will jump to your defense without your salespeople having to lift a finger. And the value of that is immense. And if you don't understand that, you shouldn't be in this business.
Yeah. And another thing that fascinates me, which you've talked about, I've talked to some of the other guys about the, again, how big companies are not even building mailing lists, opt-in lists, or if they do build them, then they don't do anything with them. Now, that is fascinating enough, because then you build up your opt-in list, and then you can mail, but you're talking about having people online in chat rooms and then kind of zapping an offer to them there and then. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you can do that. You know, for example, you know, I don't know if you are familiar with a retailing phenomenon called the Kmart Blue Light Special.
Right. Yeah.
And Kmart stores all over the country here. You can be in the store, and in over the speakers will come the announcement: "Attention, Kmart shoppers! Blue Light Special in the children's toys department in the next 15 minutes." And it's a mob scene. People from all over the store, people with no children, race to this blue light. And I said to myself, if you had a chat room online and you could always see how many people were in your chat room and who they were, you could, as an online marketer, for example, go in there and say, gee, I got 73 people visiting my site right now. They're all looking around and doing things. Why don't I offer them this special report that I'm selling now for $49.95 for $25 for the next 15 minutes? And you can control that kind of thing with a chat kind of an environment online. And you see what you're doing now. You're involving your customers in the process. They're at your site. Now, that word gets around that you did that. What do you think is going to happen to the chat room next time?
It's going to be full.
People are going to come in because there's a chance, at least, that you're going to pop in and offer them some special deal. Or maybe it's not even offering them a special deal. Maybe if you're somebody who's famous in the space and you have a chat room like that, people will hang around your chat room and talk to each other, by the way, which is also valuable to you, and learn from one another, on the off chance that you, the celebrity, will pop in personally and make some kind of cogent remark or engage in a conversation with them or answer a question that they've got.
Yeah.
The value of that's enormous, and it's not available in any other medium.
Thanks a lot, Dan. That's Dan Schaefer.